Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, coming to you from a mile high, actually a little higher than a mile high, looking down on Denver and all the rest of you from here in Colorado. It's so good to have you on board. It's good to be back, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. Slightly distracted. So I had to go out to the Bay Area last week. I'm out in the Bay Area, and it was interesting to see that the Antifa rioters scared even the pro-abort pervert hippies in San Francisco. Yeah. I don't know if did it make the national news? There on the local news, they interviewed a couple of 60-something aging lesbians, and they were scared to go in the park because of Antifa. And I thought that was ironic. These are the people who basically have destroyed the culture and raised a generation of children who hate their parents, and now they're scared of them because they think they might beat them up, and they very well may. It was quite ironic, I'll tell you. And so when I left, by the way, when I left the Denver metro area to go out to the Bay Area, there's a local newsman here in Denver. And for the past, I don't know how many years, as long as I can remember, his name has been Vince Arenas. Vince is his name. His last name is R-E-N-A-S, Vince Arenas. He's a reporter here on the local Denver, one of the local channels. I get back from the Bay Area. Now his name is Vicente Arenas. Vicente, I don't want to be American, Arenas. Vince has changed his name, and I don't understand that. It isn't like America all about coming and fitting into the melting pot? I think my family changed their name when they came here because it had too many extra vowels. And so at the, you know, at Ellis Island, they chopped off some vowels, squished it together, made it McBurney, so that the average American could pronounce Vicente Arenas. All right, Vince. You'll always be Vince to us. Anyway, that was just weird. Anyway, our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to our friends down in Houston. I have some coworkers and friends down in the Houston area. One coworker whose house is sinking into the ground. Terrible, terrible. And the folks out in Burbank, out in Los Angeles area with the fires. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of you. It just goes to show you that you always need to be prepared to meet the living God. What do you do when a fire breaks out on both sides of the freeway and you're in your car? Stop. Put both hands above your head and pray. When the water's rising and the fires are flying, stop. Put both hands over your head and pray. Anyway, so that's what, that's why I wasn't able to be with you. I was out in the Bay Area. They were going to have riots and the Antifa, they shut down the whatever free speech. I didn't go out there for the riots. No, I'm not a. Well, I don't know. I saw the people who were going to host the free speech rally, and I didn't see a Nazi flag amongst them. They seemed like, I don't know. They were kind of like biker types, probably some decent folks, and they got scared off by the children with the black face coverings and the helmets and the clubs, and all of that. And so, but I'm glad to be back. I have a story here from the Los Angeles Times. The LA Times reports that chickens are the new family dog. I got this from the Drudge Report. Yeah. Why is Drudge interested in chickens? Why does he put a story up like this? Has Google got an algorithm and they're sending stories about things that I might be interested in? Anyway. The LA Times says raising chickens is one of the fastest growing hobbies in the United States. More than 1% of U.S. households now raise chickens. By 2019, it is estimated that urban chicken flocks will increase by 400%. How much did our flock increase last year? Went from 12 to 32?
36.
I think that's a 200% increase, but check my math. I've never been very good at math. That's why I have my extremely attractive audio engineer here with me. All you young men out there, I would advise you to find yourself a wife as early as possible, because all the stuff you can't do, she can help you with. And that's the least of it. There's a lot of other good reasons. But anyway, that's my advice to you. So anyway, chickens, yes. So we're coming to a realization here at the McBurney compound. And I think this is a realization that all hobby farmers come to at some point, is that the day is coming when we will have to kill all the roosters. It's going to have to happen. You can't have, what do we have, 20 hens, 12 roosters? That doesn't work. It does not work. The poor hens can't take it, and the roosters. And I don't look forward to it, because I killed some roosters, and you know I didn't like it. I did not like it at all. I'm not looking forward to killing the roosters, but I can tell that the day is coming when there will be a bloodbath of roosters. Now, this LA Times story doesn't go into the pain and the horror of having to slaughter the birds. It just goes into all the fun of raising them. And it's good. We're getting about a dozen eggs a day now. About a dozen a day.
Dozen and a half.
Yeah, dozen and a half even. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's pretty good. This could turn into, well, anyway, we could eat a lot of eggs.
Everybody's getting chicken, then.
Yeah, if everyone's getting chickens, we won't be cool anymore. We'll have to move on to something else. Cows. That's it. Cattle. Buffalo. I'm all for buffalo. All right, we move from there. Now, here at the McBurney compound, you may or may not be aware of the fact that we homeschool our children, and we have homeschooled our children since they were knee-high to a grasshopper, as they say down in Texas. And we encourage all of you to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And every week we try to give you at least one reason so that you don't think we're just crazy, but there are good reasons to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And one of those reasons is the aforementioned Antifa. Antifa, yes, that's the black-clad rioters, leftist maniacs. Well, it turns out, according at least to the Daily Caller, that public school teachers are behind the Antifa network that federal officials have actually declared domestic terrorists. Even Nancy Pelosi, she denounced Antifa because she went to the park and she wet herself because she was afraid they were going to beat her up. Anyway, the part of Antifa is an organization called By Any Means Necessary, which right there, their name should give you some idea of what they're all about. And by any means necessary, which was behind the riots in Berkeley and Sacramento back a few weeks ago, has dozens of public school teachers amongst its members. Yes. One of the group's organizers, Yvette Felarca, a Berkeley middle school teacher, is currently facing charges of inciting a riot for her role in the riots out in Sacramento. That's right. They're active both within the National Education Association, is by any means necessary, as well as with local and regional teacher unions. In fact, last year, according to the Daily Caller, 17 different members of By Any Means Necessary ran for elected positions on the Detroit Federation of Teachers board. They ran. And some of them were actually in place there. One of By Any Means Necessary's founding members is on record. By the way, just for good measure, one of the By Any Means Necessary founding members is on the record identifying as a member of NAMBLA, which is a child molester organization. Just not to put too fine on a point, on reason number 1094, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. There you have it. That's some other advice for you youngsters, is when you start having kids, homeschool them. Yes, yes. That way, what are the odds that the man who ran into the burning man and died was a homeschooler? What are the odds? The odds are 1,000,006 to 1 that the man who ran into the burning man and burned himself to death was not a homeschooler. I was never good at math. I said that earlier. The odds are 1,000,006 to 1 that he was a homeschooler is what I was trying to say. And, of course, you all know what I was trying to say. Anyway, now let's move on into the culture file because the culture continues to be upset and degraded, primarily from Washington, D.C., but from many, many, many angles. There are many routes to hell, many wide roads. And the attack on the American culture continues. And this past week, it came from none other than Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. You remember a few weeks ago when Donald Trump tweeted that he was going to overturn this idea of allowing transgendered, mentally deranged people to serve in the military? Well, Defense Secretary James Mattis has announced that transgendered troops will be allowed to continue serving, pending the results of a study by experts. Experts. Who's an expert on trannies in the military, first of all? How do you arrive at that career position? Well, I'm an expert on transgendered people in the military. And you get a $140,000 a year contract, and now you're doing a study. So Defense Secretary Jim Mattis needs a study by experts to confirm the idea that maybe trannies are not good for the military. But Mattis says, quote, "Once the panel reports, I will provide my advice to the president." Mr. Mattis, you should just resign. Just get out, please. You need experts? Yeah. Okay. It's shocking. No, it's not actually, because Mattis, how long has Mattis been in the military? Maybe tops 25 years? So he's a product of the last 30 or 40 years of just utter degradation in all areas of government service, from the military all the way up to the President of the United States, all the way down to who's the lowest ranking member of the federal government? Who would that be? I have no idea. It's a tax collector, I guess. It's IRS enforcement agent. Not that I have anything against them. They're fine human beings. All right. Now, let's go. I have a story here from the obvious file. It's just the obvious file. Bogota, Colombia. Venezuela's former chief prosecutor says she has documents that appear to link Venezuelan strongman or Maduro. What's his first name, for crying out loud? His first name is not in the story. And that's, what's Maduro's first name? Is it Vicente? Vince Maduro, anyway, the dictator down there in Venezuela. Venezuela's former chief prosecutor says she has documents that appear to link Maduro to a Mexican company that provides products to Venezuela's state-sponsored food distribution program, and she alleges that Maduro is profiting from the socioeconomic catastrophe that's happening in Venezuela. That's from the obvious file. Nicolas Maduro, that's his name. Oh. Not Nick.
Not Nick.
Nicolas. Nicolas Maduro. And you have to roll the R. Don't say Maduro. That would be an insult. Nicolas Maduro is profiting from the starvation of his people because he's a thief and a liar and a socialist and a murderer. And that should be fairly obvious. That's how that made that in. From the Miami Herald into the Weekly Worldview's obvious file. Now, do I have time to go to the justice file on this one? I don't think I do. I don't think I do. What I want to do is I want to straighten out a phrase that I have heard mispronounced, or I should say misspoken, for my entire life, and I think it's time someone stood up and corrected all of you people. We had the hurricane down in Houston. It was awful and horrible, but it finally came to something of a close. At least they're starting to dry out. But that very night, I watched the weatherman, and they focus on Hurricane Irma, who has formed out in the Atlantic and is heading toward the eastern seaboard, and the weatherman says, well, there's no rest for the weary. We've got Hurricane Irma out here. Well, the correct term is there's no rest for the wicked, not no rest for the weary. And it comes from the Bible. It comes from the book of Isaiah. And it doesn't exactly say no rest for the wicked, but it says the wicked will have no peace. There will be no peace for the wicked. And over the years, it's become a phrase, no rest for the wicked. But it's not no rest for the weary. And I just want to make that clear because this has been annoying me for quite some time. Another phrase that annoys me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's a lot. I spend my time in a general state of annoyedness. And so there's problem. But it's no rest for the wicked, and it's from the Bible, and it's supposed to be an admonition against the wicked. It's not an admonition for crying out loud against the tired. One, of course, is homing in. Homing in on something. It's not honing in. It's not with an N. It's with an M. It's homing in like a pigeon. You home in on something. You don't hone in on something as if you're sharpening a knife. Although at least that one I can somewhat understand. And I can forgive that one. By the way, No Rest for the Wicked is also the title of an album by an 80s hair metal group called Helix. Just to be clear on that. Yes.
They knew.
They got it right. It was called No Rest for the Wicked.
You know why, right? The producer was Jewish.
That's because the producer was Jewish. That's right.
There's no way Helix could come up with
it. I doubt that the average 80s hair metal band was familiar with the book of Isaiah, but fortunately their Jewish producer was. So you're probably right about that. All right. All right, so we're homing in on the rest of the broadcast here as we go to the justice file, and we find ourselves in the unjust state of Colorado, where Denver's CBS 4 News reported this past week that a federal judge in Denver has called the sex offender registry in Colorado cruel and unusual punishments, and he's declared it unconstitutional. And I don't know, is the website up? Are these judges so powerful that as soon as he says it, they have to shut the website down? I haven't checked, because I moved to a place where there isn't a sex offender within, well, enough distance that I'm a little more comfortable. Although I'm getting less and less comfortable. This neighborhood's getting crowded. Might be time to move further out. Anyway, this judge says Denver's Colorado sex, this is Judge Richard Mache. Hey, I recognize that name. Why do I recognize that name? I'll have to do some research, but that name rings a bell just right now. Let's see. He has found that the sex offender registry is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. Listen to what he says. He wrote that the public has been given the power to inflict punishment beyond those imposed through the court. He says the idea of putting these people's name and address on a sex offender registry could cause outraged members of the public to go to their house and to inflict some kind of harm upon the child molesters. Oh, well, I guess they're not all child molesters. Shouldn't say that. They're sex offenders, whatever that means. He says that the attorney for the sex offenders, by the way, the two sex offenders filed a suit against the state of Colorado, and their lawyer says that these two sex offenders were often scarred for life because of all the public information available on the convicted criminals, and making them at risk for vigilante actions. And that very well could be true. I've often thought about that. Not for myself personally, except when I was living in the suburbs and I found out that there was one like two doors down, the thought crossed my mind, well, at least I know where he is. That's all. So anyway, I happen to agree with this judge, but for completely different reasons. As you know, we've long advocated a sex offender registry, at least for child molesters and rapists and kidnappers, as a matter of fact. You should just register them with a granite stone, and then we all know where they are. And, you know, they get a little bit of time to consider the fact that they might want to repent because they're about to meet God, and then they should be killed in a very painful, swift manner. And so I think the sex offender registry is ludicrous, ridiculous, and outrageous. Is it cruel and unusual punishments? Well, it certainly is unusual in my book. And it goes against the principles of justice that have been handed down to us from the living God for the past 5,000 years. It seems like when I was young, we all knew what you did with a child molester. I mean, it was obvious, wasn't it? They should be executed. But apparently we've lost our way, and Judge Richard Mache is going to try to rein us all back in. And so there you have that. Judge Richard Mache stumbles into the right decision for the wrong reasons, as he has done throughout his legal career. Why does that name ring a bell? Did I sit before this guy? I have to look that up. This judge may have passed sentence on me. I don't know why that name is ringing a bell. Anyway, we will figure all that out. Now we'll go from the justice file to the tranny freak of nature file, where we have an update on Private Bradley Manning. Yes. This comes to us from Breitbart. You all remember Private Bradley Manning. He was convicted and sentenced to 35 years in prison after he leaked military documents to WikiLeaks. We all remember that, right? That was back when things weren't like in the bizarro world. Now, we all remember he subsequently came out as a tranny. He underwent sex change surgery, changed his name to Chelsea, and went on a hunger strike. And then Barry Obama commuted his sentence. Breitbart says Barry commuted her sentence, but I will not entertain Mr. Manning's mental illness. I will misgender him. And I could be sued, I think, for misgendering him here on the public airwaves. According to Breitbart, Manning is now a full-time activist. It's like, yeah, right. What else is he going to be? What's he going to be? Can he get a normal job? He's a freak. He's a traitor and a tranny freak. So now he's a full-time activist. He spends all day, every day, posting on social media. That's his new lot in life. Anyway, so they have a political guide to Chelsea Manning. Chelsea says that the police and military hurt people every day. They wear body armor and carry shields and throw tear gas and flashbangs, and they shoot people. Stop the police, says Bradley Manning. He calls himself Chelsea. That reminds me of that waiter, right? So the thing about Denver is, number one, there aren't a lot of good restaurants in this town. So it's hardly worth going out to eat just based on that alone. But number two, the waiters union in Denver is obviously controlled by the gay mafia, because every waiter in Denver is a homosexual. And now some are more flamboyant than others. We went out today after church to have biscuits and pizza. Yeah, normal after, you know. So we go out, and this is one of the few good restaurants in the Denver metropolitan area. And the waiter who served us was obviously a homosexual, but he wasn't like a flamboyant, lisping, spittling, you know, he was very, a little overly friendly, but, you know, anyway, he brought us our food and our drinks, but at the end, another waiter just happens by the table and asks if he can I take some plates for you? Can I clean up some of those plates? His voice is like 6 octaves higher than he looks.
And his shirt was like...
Anyway, so I had a visible physical reaction. Am I extremely attractive? Audio engineer had to grab me by the arm and say, just play it cool. Just don't, you know, don't freak out. Because at that point, I'm full of food. I mean, I'm overstuffed. And then I was able to keep it down, but wow.
Anyway,
back to, now the waiter was not a transgender though.
No,
at least he wasn't a tranny, so I guess that's the bar anymore. Well, he's not a tranny, so I'm not going to puke.
Well, you never know. Maybe he's saving up money.
Well, he could be. Anyway, what else does Bradley Manning have to say? Open all borders to everyone always, says the traitor, who should be dead. He should have been executed for what he did. What does he say about society? He says, what they call heritage and tradition, we call oppression and fascism. So normal to a person like Bradley Manning is oppression and fascism. That's what we call heritage, tradition, religion, family, the patriarchal structure of society. He calls it oppression and fascism. And no doubt that he was probably abused. And he's probably got a lot of issues, and I should feel sorry for him, but I really don't. And I wish he'd been executed as he should have been. Let's see here. Manning is against prison, by the way. Listen to what he says. He says prison is a form of violence. Mm-hmm. Well, I happen to agree with him on that. So what are the odds, right? You end up agreeing. Even a deranged tranny can, but he gets it right for all the wrong reasons. Because he says also, imagine a world without prosecutors. Although he would say, prosecutors. Imagine a world without prosecutors, says Bradley Manning. Again, stumbling backwards into the right opinion for a moment and then heaving forward, plunging face first into stupidity and wrongness. Bradley Manning. All right, I predict Bradley Manning commits suicide within 3 years. Anybody want to take a pool? September 3rd, 2017, mark that date. Bradley Manning. Suicide within 3 years. That's just, I don't know why I have such a dark, thoughts in my mind that Bradley Manning will commit suicide within 3 years. But anyway, it's probably because I wish he would have been executed and then we wouldn't have to put up with seeing him in the news. All right, now on to the domestic tranquility file. We have a serial killer in Kansas City. Yeah, a serial killer. There were 5 killings over the past few months out in Kansas City, a series of apparently random killings in Kansas City finally came to an end shortly after noon on August 13th when 22-year-old Frederick Demond Scott, I don't know how to pronounce that, D-E-M-O-N-D, 22-year-old Frederick Demond Scott followed a man from a city bus, crept up behind him on the street, and shot him in the head before turning and getting back on the bus. Kansas City Star reports that like the other 4 victims, this latest victim, Stephen Givens, was a stranger to Scott and fit a specific profile. They were all white men between the ages of 54 and 67. So someone has published a manifesto or this serial killer's social media post. He says he wants to kill all white people. Murder charges against Scott and 2 of the killings. And he's named a suspect in 3 other homicides. He's obviously a maniac serial killer. He was captured on surveillance video and DNA evidence has linked Scott to at least 2 of the victims so far. Anyway, a generation of young people who hate their fathers and hate their mothers and hate authority. And for whatever reason, this guy ends up hating older white people. I don't know why. But there you have it. There's a snapshot of domestic tranquility circa 2017 here in the United States of America. You and I am your host, Doug McBurney. We come out of the domestic tranquility file, where things ain't looking so good, into the Mark of the Beast file. The Mark of the Beast, I said. And if you've been a listener of the Weekly Worldview, you may know my theory on the Mark of the Beast. I do not think it is going to be a chip that will be installed under your skin. I don't think it'll be a barcode. No, no. I think it will be a heart-mind attitude that people will willingly submit themselves to the point where they're literally insalvageable. Yes. And the scriptures tell us that no one will be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark. And so here we have an example of that in the Mark of the Beast file from the Times of London. Advertisers in Britain are shying away from using images of straight couples. Yes, marketing departments are putting diversity above relevance to avoid accusations of bigotry. And that's why you're seeing all the queers in the commercials. Have you been shocked like I have? You're sitting there watching television, and all of a sudden, you got a couple of perverts slobbering all over each other on a soap commercial, for crying out loud. Anyway, there you go. It's the Mark of the Beast. Why are they doing this? Not to make money, but the culture is forcing companies to believe that they have to adopt this deviant, perverted state of mind in order to do business and make money. And if that is allowed to continue, eventually it will be so. Eventually the homosexuals will brand us the criminals. As a matter of fact, the normal people will be criminals and the deviants will take over society and then they'll destroy it and themselves and everyone around them. And we're just trying to avoid that and to prevent that. Thank you very much. We're doing our little part here at the Weekly Worldview. And one of those is to point out that deviant sexual behavior outside of marriage is criminal. It always has been, it always will be, and it leads to death. And so all varieties of sexual deviance outside of marriage, between one man and one woman, I guess I have to say that, it leads to death and is criminal behavior. And the day our leaders, and I'm talking about our cultural, religious, political, and pop culture leaders, the day they gave up on the idea that sexual perversion outside of marriage was criminal was the day they sentenced all of us to be persecuted. And they sentenced millions of people to painful deaths the day our leadership gave up on that. And I'm not sure when that was. I think it was around the time they allowed Playboy to be published legally, as a matter of fact. Sometime in the late 1950s. But let's not go back and rehash ancient history, although the 1950s is not ancient history. Because this type of thing has happened in ancient history throughout. You know, there's been the ebb and flow of sexual deviance throughout the various civilizations. And, you know, a state like we're in right now, with basically sexual perversion being elevated and celebrated above normalcy. Well, that happens from time to time just before the collapse of major civilizations. You can go back and read it in your history books if the homos don't scrub it all out. You know, it'll turn out that the Greek civilization fell because of environmental contamination is what it was. In fact, it was intolerance, perhaps, that doomed the Romans to be sacked by the Visigoths. They weren't hospitable, and they were environmentally incorrect. And it wasn't the fact that they were all obsessed with sexual perversion with each other. They got somewhat distracted, and they were sacked by a backwards bunch of people who painted themselves blue. The greatest civilization the world had ever known collapses when a bunch of vandals come in. It was because they weren't good stewards of the earth. They weren't living sustainably. This is what happened to the Romans. It had nothing to do with homosexuality. All right, now, speaking of that, we go to reason number 1097 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. This is from Rockland, California, which is in the Sacramento area. In California's Rockland Academy, according to Breitbart, which is a public school, on the school playground, a female student called her biologically male classmate by his given name because she was unaware that the boy now identified as a girl. How old was this girl, for crying out loud? These are little kids. Well, they're on a playground, so let's assume it's before, like, middle school or less. So she wasn't aware that her classmate had been psychologically abused by someone and had now was identifying as a girl, and she called him by the name she knew him by the year before. And the mentally disturbed boy went and reported to the teacher this incident of misgendering. He had been misgendered. And so what did the teacher do? The teacher took the girl to the principal's office. Yes. The child was investigated to determine whether or not she had bullied the tranny. And after about an hour, it was determined that the little girl had made an honest mistake because everyone around her was losing their minds. She was the only normal person in this whole story. I added that last part. That was my commentary. That wasn't part of the Breitbart story. Because at Breitbart, they called Chelsea Manning her. So they've lost their minds. Anyway, so this poor little girl is tortured at the principal's office for an hour, and then they let her go. She was not punished or reprimanded, meaning that she could have been, which is shocking and outrageous. For anyone who sends their kids off to the government schools, this should be a wake-up call, for crying out loud. Anyway, after this poor innocent little girl returned home, she was noticeably upset. And her hapless mother took action. She wrote a letter to the school. Yes. And what did she say in her letter? She says, "I stressed over and over with the principal that, hey, I am all for protecting the rights of the transgender child. But my children have rights as well." This hapless mother. In response, the mother was told, whenever there is a pronoun mishap, the school must investigate. It's part of their policy on misgendering. Now, in the past, when I went to public school, a pronoun mishap would have been using they instead of them in a sentence. That would have been a pronoun mishap, and you got a point off. Yeah. Right? Not anymore. This ain't your mama's pronoun mishap. Not any longer, no. This ain't grandma's pronoun mishap. This is misgendering a child who is obviously being abused by someone, probably the child's parents or guardian or whatever. And so there you go. Reason number 1097 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Your child could be investigated, punished, and or reprimanded for misgendering another mentally ill person. All right, so there you go. That was 1097 in no particular order. And now we go back to Rockland, as a matter of fact, for reason number 1095, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. What is reason number 1095, you ask? Well, CBS 13 is reporting from Rockland Academy that this is the same school, for crying out loud. Hold on. California's Rockland Academy, this is the same school. This is a different story, believe it or not. How big is this school? How many trannies they got in this school, for crying out loud? You parents in Rockland should be particularly concerned. The Rockland Academy School Board is facing tough questions from parents who are concerned over a controversial incident involving a transgender discussion inside of a kindergarten class. Yes, the teacher was reading two children's books, I said, about transgenderism. Those words should never be put together in a sentence. A children's book about transgenderism? I'm sorry. How did that happen? That this could even be a sentence? Speaking of pronouns and adjectives and conjunctions, dangling participles and all of that, how does this happen? Well, the teacher defended her actions. She says the books were given to her by a transgender child who's going through a transition. And she wants to help all of the children understand and adjust and relate and empathize and emote with all the transgendered fluid activity that's just floating all around them. Now, parents say that besides the book reading, which the parents are upset about, they said their children came home confused about whether or not you can pick your gender, and children were actually asking their parents whether or not they could be sure they were really a boy or a girl. Oh, no, and what did the parents do? They took their kids back to the school the next day, believe it or not. But they were outraged. And they demanded to have a meeting with the school board. They say besides the books, the transgender student at some point during class also changed clothes and was revealed as her true gender, which we have no idea what that is because now we don't know anything. What was her true gender? Was it he? I imagine that CBS here in Sacramento would not dare misgender. Not dismember, for crying out loud. I'm sure that CBS would not misgender this transgender student. So I imagine it was a boy who changed clothes and voila, stood up, dressed up as a girl, freaked everybody out. All the normal kids were freaked out. It's like Jimmy put on girls' clothes right in the middle of class. I'm supposed to understand that? I'm 9 years old. Anyway, many parents say they feel betrayed and blindsided. One mom says, my daughter came home crying and shaking, so afraid that she could turn into a boy. Can you imagine these poor kids? One parent said, it's really about the parents being informed and involved and giving us a choice and the rights of what's being introduced to our kids. And at what age? Is that really right, Mom? What age is it appropriate to introduce the idea of transgenderism to a child? In my opinion, that's a criminal act, exposing a child to the idea that maybe they're not a boy, maybe they're not a girl. Planting that seed of doubt in a child's mind, that's a criminal act. Shouldn't happen at any age, Mom. One parent, though, said the impact on her son was extremely positive. Yes. She says, quote, this is a hapless mom at the Rockland Academy School. She says, quote, it was so precious to see that he had absolutely no prejudice in his body. My child just went in there and listened to the story and didn't relate it to anything malicious or didn't question his own body, said mom. So, of course, you have this is all driven not by children. This isn't driven by mentally deranged children. This whole idea of transgenderism in the public schools is driven by mentally ill adults. Parents and teachers and administrators, they've all lost their minds. A seventh grade teacher there at the Rockland Academy says, quote, "When we head in the direction of banned books, I think that's a very dangerous direction to go." This reminds me of the story in the Bible in the New Testament where Paul had all these people converting to Christianity and they took all their pagan books and they piled up in the middle of the town square there and they set them on fire and they burned them. And there are some times when it's appropriate to burn books and to ban books. For example, books that suggest that little boys and little girls should question whether they're boys or girls, those type of books should be banned. And if found, they should be burned. There you go. There's your case for a burning man. Doug McBurney, this is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. So when my parents heard that, they probably thought I had lost my mind. What is he listening to in his room? That's just bizarre. Turn that off! Was it the 90s? I don't think that sounds very... Anyway, back to Rockland really quick before we move on. The school district there says that the books, in fact, were age-appropriate, these books on transgenderism, that were being read to kindergartners. They say they were age-appropriate, and the topics of gender identity, when discussed by teachers in the school, does not require prior parental notice. So the school has a policy, Mom. Oh, they have a policy? Okay. I'll just send little Jimmy and Sarah back there and... But I was a little outraged. Get or keep your kids out of the government schools because a pervert teacher could start telling them that maybe they're not boys or girls. Okay, how about that? That's reason number 1,095. And now we go to reason number 1,096, believe it or not, from Fox Local, Channel 59 in McCordsville, Indiana. Hapless parents of McCordsville Elementary are upset after a first grade teacher sent a letter home asking kids not to talk about God or Jesus or the devil at school. Yes. The letter asked parents to have a talk with their children about the appropriate time and place to talk about religion, and it's not at school. We're officially atheists. The letter reads in part, quote, "With McCordsville Elementary being a public school, we have many different religions." So they're like officially telling mom and dad, "We're a bunch of pagans. We have many, many religions and beliefs, by the way. And I do not want to upset a child or parent because of these words being used, words like God and Jesus and the devil. Well, if you have many different religions and many different beliefs, why can't God and Jesus and the devil be one of those? Oh, that's not allowed. That's not allowed. Do I have any more here? Employees... According to the McCordsville Elementary School District Board, employees can neither advance nor inhibit religious views. And I would just a memo to the McCordsville School District, that's not possible. You're either advancing or inhibiting religious views every day. You're either moving forward toward a better relationship with God or you're falling behind. You're either facilitating your neighbor's ability to know and have a relationship with the living God, or you are inhibiting your neighbor's ability to do that, depending on how you act. And not allowing people to talk about God, Jesus, and the Bible is, well, that's backtracking, although I'm sure that's fairly clear. So employees can either advance or inhibit religious views. Trying to limit a student's view on religion is a violation of the student's First Amendment rights. So does anybody see that it doesn't make any sense? Because limiting a student's view on religion would be not allowing them to talk about God, Jesus, and the devil, right? Wouldn't that be inhibiting? So, but that doesn't matter because it's all understood that God, Jesus, and the devil are not allowed. Although the devil could be allowed under certain circumstances. God and Jesus, though, certainly. Well, and God maybe in a generic sense, especially if you call him Allah, then he might be allowed. Jesus, on the other hand, forget about it, not allowed. That would be a violation of the First Amendment. You know, no one can make anyone believe anything. I think that should be obvious to everyone, but people always accuse Christians of we're trying to force other people to believe, whatever. You're forcing your religion on me. Nobody can force you to believe anything. But this story shows, that the heathens and the perverts running the schools, they know perfectly well exactly how malleable the mind of a child is. And they're biased against any religion that claims to be exclusively righteous. And that claims that anyone is guilty of any kind of sin ever. They're biased against that because they want to teach these children for their own selfish reasons that there is no right or wrong and that there is no judgment day, none of that. Meaning Christianity is basically banned. And I think we all know that. All right. So there, reason number 1096, they don't want your kid talking about Jesus in the public schools.
That's obvious.
It's been obvious for quite some time that they don't want anyone talking about Jesus. And it's because it makes perverts and queers and child molesters feel guilty. They start hearing about Jesus. They get sweaty under the collar. They don't like to think about that. The fact that they're going to burn in hell for all eternity, they don't want to be reminded of that.
Burning Man.
Speaking of the Burning Man, there you go. Why is Matt Drudge obsessed with Burning Man? I used to know, I had a coworker who used to go to Burning Man. Turned out she was a heroin addict. She used to go to Burning Man back when it was for like low-life hippie types. I'll bet she's dead. Anyway, let's see. Oh, now we go. Story from the New York Post. Surprisingly enough, we go to reason number 1098 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. We're rapidly approaching the big 2,000 reasons. We'll have to have a special... whoever sends me reason number 2,000 will receive a one-year subscription to the Weekly Worldview free of charge. And you'll get one of our coffee mugs.
What coffee mug?
We'll come up with a coffee mug is what we'll do. We go to the New York Post. A group of students and hapless parents in Alabama is calling for the removal of a rainbow pride flag from their high school classroom. The Christians are arguing that the rainbow homo flag can be compared to displaying a Confederate flag, and it makes them very uncomfortable. So, first of all, if you're a Christian and you're sending your child daily into an atmosphere where there's a homo flag hanging in the room, that should be a big signal, Mom, Dad. But no, they're going to fight. They say they strongly feel that the homo flag creates a hostile, provocative learning environment for students not openly supporting the LGBTQ+ community. So now it's LGBTQ and then a little plus sign.
What's that?
That means you can do anything with anyone. That's for the bestiality types that are on the way and all of that. That's all coming. If you're not fully in support of the homos in the public school, you could be made to feel uncomfortable according to the... And more than 800 delusional parents have signed the petition demanding that the homo flag be taken down. Instead of just realizing that you shouldn't send your children into the Temple of Dagon every day for crying out loud. I have a quote from the from the petition here. The petition states this, quote, "We believe it is like unprofessional and distracting for a teacher to be so openly displaying their political views in an unbiased and socially neutral public setting. This is subjecting or explicitly exposing students from diverse political backgrounds to political views differing from theirs and can make students uncomfortable and distract them." So you see what's happening here is the Christians are, they end up making the argument, they're arguing from the same flawed premise as the sex perverts who hung up the fag flag. They're saying that, do you hear that? It's the same flawed premise, and they don't even realize it. They say the, quote, "The signers of this petition would like for you to consider the uproar that would ensue were a teacher to hang a Confederate or a Christian flag in their classroom." So now the Christians are arguing that a Christian flag is the equivalent of a rebel flag or a homo flag. So now being a normal Christian is akin to being a slaveholder, I suppose. And this is our side making the argument, by the way. They remind the board that there would likely be protests if you were to hang a Christian or a Confederate flag, and the threatening of lawsuits. One does not see teachers hanging these flags in classrooms due to the same arguments that it is unprofessional and can create a hostile an unideal learning environment. Nowhere do they point out that homosexuality is a sin and it's dangerous and God says it's an abomination and you shouldn't hang that flag up there because you're corrupting the minds of innocent children with that garbage. No, they don't say that because I guess I'm a radical. Are we radicals now?
Yes.
Normal married Christian heterosexual people are now radicals. And for these people to try to defend their position against hanging up a gay flag by basically equating us with the slaveholders of the rebellion, it's so sad to see. So listen, these delusional, 800 delusional parents have signed a petition to take the gay flag down. Well, as you can imagine, the deviants and the perverts put up their own counter petition, and it's garnered approximately 6,666 signatures. I mean, they say 6,690, but, you know, we round it down to six, 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 six. So right there, you got almost 10,000 people against the 800 normal people. What does that tell you about the school district? It's run by a bunch of corrupt perverts and child molesters, and you should get your kid out. Do I have anything? I'm not going to read the counter petition because I'm tired of lisping. That's reason number 1,098. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, they'd be learning algebra under a giant homo flag. And who needs that? All right, now I got these domestic tranquilities. I don't know that I can do any more of these stories. Oh, so let's go to reason number 1,093. I don't want you people to think that I skipped one. Reason number 1,093 to get your or keep your children out of the government schools. Breitbart reports that a shocking video captured the moment a 12-year-old girl allegedly stabbed a 15-year-old girl back on August 19th at the middle school. The principal of Thurman White Middle School informed parents about the incident in a letter reminding parents that students should not bring weapons onto campus. That's the one girl. Now, they have a video, but they still say that the girl allegedly stabbed the other girl. Now, as far as we know, the 15-year-old girl was stabbed, and there's a video of the 12-year-old actually stabbing her. But for whatever reason, it's all still alleged. And what was the principal's response? Send out a letter, remind parents, hey, those kids are not supposed to bring knives to school. By golly, we have a policy here. Now, Jimmy can dress up as Sally, but he's got to leave the knife at home. All right. Do I want to do these? I really can't do these. I think I'm going to close with the Shabba bulb. Why do I want to do this? I don't know, but it's almost the end of the show, right? So instead of going through the bloodbath in Chicago right? And instead of going through the bloodbath, the Northwestern University professor and the Oxford employee, a couple of homos who butchered another homo, the cousin who butchered his six-year-old sister in a two... The teenage girl in the Slender Man attack pleads out. I can't do any of this. I can't do it anymore. So instead, I'm going to go to the Sanhedrin. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the Bible, you can pause it and look up the Sanhedrin, okay? There's still a Sanhedrin in Israel today. Did you know that? I did not know that. According to WorldNet Daily, the state of Israel's religious establishment is taking its persecution of Messianic Jewish believers to a new level. If you don't know what a Messianic Jew is, well, pause the show and go look it up. You're culturally illiterate, all right? Well, a rabbinic court, or a Sanhedrin, ruled last week that a Jew who believes in Jesus as the Messiah is no longer considered a Jew for the purposes of marriage in Israel. And this is important because in Israel, in order to get married, Jewish weddings, you see, performed in Israel must be done by an Orthodox rabbi in order to be recognized by the state. And this has implications on retirement benefits and medical and other benefits that come with a state-recognized marriage. Well, now, according to the Sanhedrin, an Israeli couple who are Messianic Jews cannot marry in a traditional religious ceremony because they're considered to no longer be Jews. They're considered Christians. And it was the first time a rabbinical court has ruled on the issue of the status of Jews who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, after a Messianic couple requested that they be married in Israel according to the Jewish laws, or halacha, because they're still Jews. They're just Messianic Jews, but the Orthodox say, no, you're no longer a Jew. You're basically a traitor. Anyway, so I'm reading this story, which is somewhat interesting, and it was linked to some Jewish advertising. You go online to read a news story, and along the right side and the bottom now and popping up from the left and right are all these advertisements. Half of them are borderline pornographic, but some of them are. So I clicked on an ad for the Shabob. The Shabob. This is, so listen to how Orthodox Jews are. They say on the Sabbath you cannot do any work, right? And if you're an Orthodox Jew and you're going to observe the law, I can get that. You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And why did God give that command to Israel? It's so that they would pause for one day and think about God and righteousness and the scriptures, and they would worship, right? But all of Jewish society, I shouldn't say all, a large segment of Jewish society business is organized around ways to get around the Sabbath. And one of them is the Shabob. The Shabob. Now, you're not allowed to turn a light on or off on the Sabbath because that's considered doing work. Okay. And the rabbis have determined that the way we know you're doing work is because you are either facilitating or preventing the flow of electrons, and that counts as work. Okay. Well, now you can have the Shabob. The Shabob illuminates an entire space evenly, acting exactly like a regular light bulb with one difference. It's got a little slider on it that hides and reveals the light without affecting the electric current. So you slide the slider level on the side, and a tiny cover glides over the LED, and you can turn the light off, and you can push the slider aside, and the light comes on. You have not disrupted the flow of electrons, and according to the makers of the Shabob, it's certified to hide and reveal light with no risk of violating the laws of Shabbat, since it does not affect electrical usage. Although LED light isn't considered fire in the halachic sense, the bulb itself is considered mukseh. But the Shabob solves the issue by using a unique removable cover that permits the use of the lever on the Shabbat and that permits the use of the lever on Shabbat. It's important to note, the makers of the Shabob remind us, that the lamp itself may not be moved or turned on and off during Shabbat. But somehow the slider, that's like a workaround the Sabbath law. which goes against the whole idea of why God gave you people the Sabbath law. He didn't give you the Sabbath so that you could figure out ways around it, for crying out loud. And how is sliding the slider not work? How does that not qualify? Anyway, that's from the Weird Religion file, I guess. See, the Jews are very smart, and they're very ingenious. But like the rest of us, they should stop and ponder the living God at least once a week. You should probably do it a lot more than that. I encourage all you people to do it. So all of the religious terms and phrases and words that you didn't understand on this show today, if you're an ignorant, culturally illiterate heathen, stop and go look them up. You'll be a better person for it. And that's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at KGOV and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here on the Weekly Worldview, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.